Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for Why It Matters. Now, just recently, there were 127 personal learning devices hacked due to a compromised device management application. Now, during the incident, the names and email addresses, parents and school staff from 5 primary and 122 secondary schools whose students use, say, iPad or Chromebook as a personal learning device, were accessed. Now, mobile apps are a part of our everyday lives, but increasingly, we've seen how unreliable and unsecure that these can be. Back in 2023, Singaporeans suffered through a series of downtimes on their mobile banking applications that rendered them, well, unable to make any payments. There have also been several cases of social engineering scams on mobile dating apps, e-wallet apps, retail apps, and all these leaving users like you and me in a state of distrust. Well, why is Singapore such a common target for cyber criminals? And is there any way that we can create a safer mobile app environment? Well, joining me for the very last edition of Why It Matters is a good friend of mine, Jan Seismans, mobile app evangelist at AppDome. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Very, very good, Elliot. Good afternoon. I am going to miss your voice on the radio.
I'll tell you that. And I'm going to miss discussing these topics with you. You know that it's a personal favorite of mine, all these cyber hackings and how we can make the world a better place, a safer place. But I guess to start us off, Jan, why is Singapore such a common target for cyber criminals?
Well, I think there's multiple different reasons for that. Singapore economy is it's one of the top economies in Southeast Asia. We know that. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen as well is Singapore is becoming the place to be for many different people in Southeast Asia. And most recently, and you've talked about this on your show, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Coldplay, all these bands are coming to Singapore to perform for the rest of Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And so I think as a result, because Singapore is becoming this hub in Southeast Asia, it's not only a hub for entertainment, a hub for leisure, a hub for business. I mean, we are the biggest economy and number top three from a GDP in the world, or top two from a GDP in the world. As a result, I think it's also becoming an attractive market for cyber criminals to do their thing.
Yeah. We kind of make it easier for them with the whole mobile app first way of life, right?
Part of it, I mean, listen, just south of us and down the street, Indonesia is definitely a mobile-first country. Yeah. Just north in Malaysia, mobile-first country. To the east, we have Philippines. They're a mobile-first economy. So the whole of Southeast Asia is a mobile-first economy. It is. We live our lives through mobile apps. That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. Help us understand this term, social engineering scams. What exactly does it mean?
Well, it is somebody who is a scammer, part of the scamdemic, and we've talked about the scamdemic multiple times already.
Yeah.
It is somebody who abuses the trust that we have in brands. Mm. And maybe that's another reason why in Singapore we see so much of it, is because we have a very, very high trust with regards to the consumer brands that we use on a daily basis. And so a social engineering attack starts with an imposter abusing the trust that somebody has in their mobile app.
Okay. But we've talked about this several times as well, right? Because if you think about it, with what you've described, most of the time you only detect that this is a social engineering scam after, let's say, some kind of a report is made or if you've lost money. Why won't people change the mindset? Like me, you know, just don't trust anyone.
Well, so I have to give kudos to the Singapore police force. Everywhere I go in Singapore, I see the ads from them.
Yeah.
Don't believe this. Hang up if you get a call. And I have to give you a personal story. So I was on the phone the other day. I got a call from a number I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I picked it up. And it was a pest control company that said, hey, we came to your house last year and there's an outstanding bill that hasn't been paid. And so rather than believe them, I actually did what the Singapore Police Force says, which is if you get such a call, be distrustful, ask for more information, and if necessary, hang up. And so I asked for more information. I wasn't happy with the information they provided, and I hung up the call and did my research, finally found out that, yes, this was a legitimate call, so I called them back and I apologized.
Yeah.
But I said, hey, I mean, Singapore Police Force is telling me to do this, but this it truly works, you know? So if you get a call from somebody who claims to be your bank, who claims to be, I get calls all the time, ICA this, ICA that, you have pending elements against you, those I hang up right away.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one was, could have been a social engineering attack. It turned out to be was a somebody that I'd worked with and contractor I'd worked with in the past.
Okay.
But it just shows, it becomes also now, because of this scandemic, it becomes more and more difficult for legitimate businesses to engage with their clients to resolve certain issues, because I am distrustful, as you just said. We should be distrustful of everything.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. Well, Singapore has this whole safe app standard, shared responsibility framework, a lot of guidelines. Do you see anything lacking? I mean, it doesn't help that we've got an industry or a ministry like GovTech trying to make things a lot easier. They've got the mantra that the government can be better if better technology is in place. So we have that mindset. If there's a better technology, things can be better. So what's lacking as far as the protection side is concerned?
What's lacking is expediency. What's lacking is being able to move quickly. The bad guys are not waiting. First of all, I really commend Singapore to put these measures into place. And we were, last week we had, or 2 weeks ago, we had the Black Hat Asia event here in Singapore.
Yeah.
And it was very clear. Singapore is one of the only countries in the world that is actually doing things like the Safe App standard that has that shared responsibility framework in place. And one of the things in the shared responsibility framework that I think is really, really innovative is this notion that brands have a duty to disrupt phishing scams. Mm. And this is literally in the shared responsibility framework.
Mm-mm-mm.
You have a duty to disrupt. But now the question is, how do you disrupt? Because if I'm getting a call from a scammer and they sound convincing and they get me to open my mobile app in order to take certain actions, how does a brand intervene? How does a brand disrupt? And that is something that was alluded to earlier. You need technology, and you need to be able to innovate quickly as a technology provider like what we are.
Yeah.
But you need to be able, as a brand, stay on top of all the different protections that are available and take action to engage and deploy the technologies that allow you to disrupt.
Mm.
And for example, one of the things that we saw with the scams is that our customers came to us and said, hey, Abdom, we've seen data that when somebody is on the phone and if their app is open, the chances of a social engineering attack increase by 500%. What can you do to disrupt that? Okay, so again, looking back at in the shared responsibility framework, you have this duty to disrupt.
Okay.
Well, what technology is available, including ours, to do that? And so what we recently introduced was a solution that allows a brand, my banking app or my travel app or my hotel app or entertainment app, to pop up a system notification, for example, and say, hey, Elliot, I noticed that you're on the phone, or just say, hey, Elliot, we would never ask you for certain information on a phone call.
Yes.
And that itself, that behavioral change, that might be enough to snap somebody out of the trance that was created by the scammer who is abusing the trust that the consumer has in a brand.
Right.
And that itself alone, if you get this pop-up message, lo and behold, at the exact same time that this is happening, but it just says, hey, Elliot, just to remind you, your online privacy, your online safety is important to us. We would never call you to ask for certain information. And that enough, that alone might be enough for you to snap out of it and say, oh, maybe this is a scam because it doesn't sound right. Maybe I should hang up. And so that technology is available now.
Mm.
And brands have a duty, again, a duty to disrupt phishing scams. Brands have a duty to start looking at this type of technology and start implementing that.
Mm, sort of like a behavioral trigger in that sense. Jan, I've got a slightly left-field question here. I mean, I know we talked about the responsibility that brands have, technology that can be implemented. But what about people in your role? Mobile app evangelist. You, of course, work for AppDome. Should we have more mobile app evangelists or cybersecurity evangelists as a position, as a role within brands, within companies? What are your thoughts there?
Well, talking about myself, but you got me there. So I also tell people what I do is I'm the mobile consumer advocate.
Yeah.
Okay. My job is to advocate for the rights of the mobile consumer. My job is to explain to brands, and that's what this evangelist role is, explain to brands that there are solutions in place where that they can use to protect their consumers against these latest things. I mean, another recently emerging malware that is coming up is where malware is doing Face ID bypass attacks, both on Android but also on iOS. And so in iOS, we've been for the longest time, with Apple users, in iOS, we've been for the longest time being kind of believing that Apple, because it's a closed system, it would better protect us against malware.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. There's malware out there that can do a Face ID bypass attack on an iOS app and basically spoof your Face ID to get access to your banking app or anything else that you might be using and use that for a fraudulent transaction. So my role as the mobile consumer advocate, as the evangelist, is to be very grateful that I'm invited to shows like yours where I can help explain to both consumers as well as to brands that, hey, there are technology solutions available that can help you protect against these modern attacks. Because the bad guys, they don't wait for the social responsibility, the shared responsibility framework or the safe app standard to be updated with the latest scams. They keep on innovating. And so you as a brand, you have to keep on innovating as well from a protection standpoint.
You know, again, that highlights the importance as far as education is concerned as well. I've been speaking with Jan Seismans, mobile app evangelist for AppDome. Jan, I appreciate your time today.
Hey, thank you, Elliot, and good luck with you. And as I said, I'm really going to miss hearing your voice on the airwaves. So all the best.
Thanks for everything.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.